Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina, and welcome into another week and another edition of Morning Briefings with Pipeline Intercession for the President. As we stand on the wall and pray for God's purpose for this nation and for the Office of the President to hopefully hear the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to guide them through the decisions and challenges that are occurring in this nation for the days ahead, for freedom and the gospel kingdom to be spread throughout the world, okay? With that being said, I want to this week go through some prayer points that are in the Reordering the Day book that stick with the morning watch. And there's 31 points for 31 days. And I want to go through them because it points out the different times where God intervened, spoke to Moses and other leaders throughout the Bible, those who had a relationship with the Lord, to listen, to emphasize the importance for what we talked about last week of reordering our day, and really the past couple weeks, and taking back the night season so that we hear from the Lord what His purposes are for us, for our regions, for our families, for our cities, for our states, for our nation, in order to go with this theme of appealing to heaven, listening to the Lord, as we're seeing natural leaders abandon any inclination to hear from the Holy Spirit about how problems should be solved. So I want to start in today in verse, in Exodus 14, verse 24. And if you know the passage of Scripture, it's dealing with the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and as they're crossing through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is in pursuit of them. And the Scripture to highlight is verse 24, "At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion." So this is as they're chasing after the Israelites, as they're making their way through the Red Sea. They're in the same passage on dry land through the Red Sea that the Israelites are. And then God brings the confusion. And it goes on in verse 25 where it says, "He, the Lord, caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against us.' Even the Israelites, Pharaoh and his army knew the Lord was intervening because they've gone through the 10 plagues. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come down over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak." And the portion Chuck points out in this is to ask the Lord, ask God to trouble your enemy during this time. When you sense the Lord's presence, ask Him to cause your enemies to go into confusion. We talked about that yesterday during worship, about having the Lord come in and confuse the enemy during these times. And we're seeing that right now. And I'll get into that a little bit in the news. And there's also some confusion being caused by the enemy or those who are in leadership causing problems throughout the world. And really, it's hard to say what the right answer is on a lot, some of this stuff. Some of it's very clear. Some of it's like, okay, we need to pray. We need to seek for them and for our nation, their nation. But first, I want to dive into obviously yesterday we saw, as we pray this, confusion. I did this a couple days ago. It's just under some spiritual attack here, and I just prayed this, and it was like a weight just lifted off my shoulders. So, and obviously you have to hear the Lord on when to do that and making sure you're not fighting unnecessary battles. But what we're seeing with these mandates and the removal of them, as we're seeing out of California, if you saw anything last night, this morning from the Super Bowl, is there was literally no one wearing masks. Sean Foyt even posted last night. He was at the Super Bowl. He said they didn't even check for vaccine passports. They didn't even check for masks if you're wearing it in and around the stadium. As you saw 2 weeks before that during the NFC Championship, Mayor Eric Garcetti, who held his breath, man, he must have been holding his breath a long time during this game because he got caught several times without a mask in his hand, but talking and communicating to other people without a mask, literally standing shoulder to shoulder. But I digress. So what we're seeing from that is the total just hypocrisy from that. Obviously now California is pulling back. But I want to point this out. Talked about this story yesterday with Pfizer about how they're pushing for a two-dose approval of emergency use authorization from the FDA. This article from Daily Wire tries to point out that the Pfizer biotech is now seeking a three-dose approval. I read an article yesterday that the Wall Street Journal said the FDA denied the approval of a two-dose vaccine and is waiting now data on a three-dose. And I talked about last week about how you're still in research phase to see what would actually be appropriate. And yet you're seeking an emergency use authorization. Meanwhile, countries like Sweden, have gone forward and said, look, we're not pushing for Swedish government, if you can see here, are now saying that children are at a significantly lower risk of developing severe COVID disease compared with adults. In general, the younger the child, the lower the risk, which has been proven even before all this. And yes, but children in California are required to wear a mask. And that's the hypocrisy of it all. Even this, the data shows, the science shows, this stuff, pushing for this stuff could be very harmful for children. More and more reports are coming out. Healthy men, which is are falling over for myocarditis. Probably haven't seen this out of Europe. And really the rest of the world, professional athletes who have been double, triple, quadruple vaxxed. They're falling over and collapsing. I mean, these are the men at the peak of their physical lives, and yet they're falling over collapsing. I point this out because parents need to be aware. Once you go back, I talked about this before. Once you have this in your child, you can't go back and reverse it. It could cause harms. The issue is you don't know what's happening. You don't know what could happen because they don't know what could happen. But this is good news, something to celebrate in. Thankfully, the FDA and Pfizer realizing some form of sanity in this issue and trying to get data corrected, which delays it, which Sir Lord Fauci obviously pushed for the 10 million doses to be pre-bought. Hopefully they did or didn't. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. God is doing something at play here. And the truth is coming to light. The reality to all this is coming to light, coming to bear. And we're seeing it right before our very eyes, which is a good thing. But I digress. We just continue to stay on the wall on that issue. Continue to pray for the truth to come out there. And this next, obviously, I'm going to focus on Ukraine a little bit. So we talked with Lika Romain, former Ukrainian, Miss Ukraine in 2007. You heard the heart of the people there. There's a lot of confusion. And they're unsure of what's going to happen. You know, you've seen from National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan over the weekend. He's saying any day now, there's possible Tuesday, possible Wednesday, Russia could potentially invade Ukraine. But now the Ukrainian president is actually positioning himself properly to, number one, have a seat at the table, but then also asking the U.S. for the intel on what is causing this panic? And look, they can do this behind closed doors. They could do this privately. They can share this information. If there is this information that is out there, look, I understand you wouldn't want to make it publicly known to protect your sources and national security reasons, but you can do this behind closed door. And that would be the prayer there for the U.S. Because it's causing, as we're seeing with the Ukrainians on the ground, some stress, some confusion on their part. They want to know what to do. They want to know what's really going on. From Russia, you're hearing one story. From Europe, you're hearing one story. From U.S., you're hearing another story. And so there's a lot at play here. There's a lot of confusion. This is one of those things where, you know, we may not know the full answer. We not know the full details of everything. But the reality is we can still pray that the White House and administration have wisdom, which we have. We want to continue to pray there. Obviously, they've shown no history of being competent on these matters of international relations, especially with what happened in Afghanistan. And Ukraine is also asking for a seat at the table with Russia. They're saying, hey, let's sit down. Let's talk about these things together because we're more involved in anything. And a lot of this has to do with NATO. Supposedly, Russia doesn't want Ukraine to be involved with NATO, to strengthen their alliances for foreign trade, to really pump up their economy, which they very well likely could. And I want to talk about that for a second. But first, we mentioned Friday about an agreement between the U.S., Ukraine. But that agreement also includes Russia, Great Britain, and Northern Ireland, NATO, to do several things. But I want to point these two things out that are very, very, very key. That not only did the Obama administration break, but Russia is now breaking and has broken, even under the Biden and Obama administrations. So this is the agreement, memorandum on security assurances and connections with Ukraine's accession to the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, Budapest, December 5th, 1994. So it goes on to be, and it's signed in Ukrainian, Russian, and English. Four copies. And then the first point of what they are confirming to agree to is the Russian Federation, the United Kingdom of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and the United States of America reaffirm their commitment to Ukraine in accordance with the principles of the CSCE Final Act to respect the independence and sovereignty and existing borders of Ukraine. That was broken in 2004 when Russia was allowed to take Crimea, which was it would be like Hawaii closer to Ukraine, but for America, but for Ukraine. The second point, this one is more important. The Russian Federation, the United Kingdom of Great Britain, and Northern Ireland, and the United States of America reaffirmed their obligation to refrain from the threat or use of force against the territory integrity or political independence of Ukraine, and that none of their weapons will ever be used against Ukraine except in self-defense or otherwise in accordance with the Charter of the United States. The fact that Russia is doing what they're doing right now is breaking this agreement. And so what we want to do for, number one, not supporting them would be we need to repent for abandoning this 1994 Budapest Agreement, not standing with the covenant. This would be a contract, a covenant that we would have made, and it was broken 2004. So we want to repent for that. We talked a little bit about that. We repented to Lika, a representative of Ukraine, about that. But now we want to continue to not only breaking that, but continuing to break it. And then there's also confusion coming out now from Tulsi Gabbard. I want to point this out because we don't know if this is true. This is pure speculation. She's saying, let's not be sheep, and that this is ultimately the pumping of information, chaos from the military-industrial complex. Look, that may or may not be true. At the end of the day, we want to pray for wisdom and revelation for this Biden administration to have from the Holy Spirit to lead them when dealing with Russia and Ukraine. Because not only is it happening on this issue, it's happening with Taiwan and China, it's happening with North Korea, it's happening with Iran, it's happening at our southern border, where the lack of adhering to the guidance of the Holy Spirit is even being considered, number one. And this comes to not only just Biden and the top officials, but the underlings who can persuade things, can get the correct information to the leaders so that they can assess the situation. Because maybe they're just not seeing the full story. Maybe they're only seeing one side of the story because that's all that's being fed to them. I mean, there's a lot of things at play here. And yes, we can be upset and bemoan the decisions that are being made. But look, at the end of the day, these are our leaders. We need to pray for them, intercede for them to make the proper decisions that the Lord would have them make in this season. And if they don't, look, that's totally on them. And we're, as Americans, going to have to deal with the consequences. But because there's really nothing we can do at this point, our whole purpose of being here as a group, of providing this information, and providing these intercession points, is so that we can get on our knees and appeal to heaven and intercede that the Holy Spirit would just come in. And I think what Ann Tate prayed was so powerful on Friday, if you saw that at our noon prayer, of showing that, praying that, decreeing that the enemy has no power, Russia has no power over Ukraine. They are a sovereign nation. And I want to point this out. This is key, because we talked about how a lot of the problems could be solved if the U.S. would just produce their own oil and provide oil to Europe. Well, there's another solution that is very kind of low key, that nobody's talking about hardly, that Ukraine has natural resources that have been forgotten about to be able to that could provide the gas and any other form of energy that would be needed through the infrastructure that is already set up in Ukraine. Now, what had happened is, and this is from Harvard International Review, it's a piece from people who have information on the ground, who are involved economically in Ukraine, an intellectual level lobbying type piece. But they'll just get upset. Oh, it's Harvard. They're horrible. Maybe so, maybe not. But this is great information. This is an objective piece. And it talks about how Ukraine has the pipeline infrastructure to be able to get gas from the ports out of the Black Sea to the rest of Europe. Not only that, but they have underground storage facilities which could store gas to help alleviate supply chain issues, which is what they're seeing now, of getting gas to not only Ukraine, to Europe. And in the past, it has been used to take Russian oil, gas, and Turkish gas, oil and gas, and give it to Ukraine, give it to the rest of Europe. And Russia used that. And that's why, to Russia, Ukraine is so important for its natural gas resources and its pipeline infrastructure. And also talks about how there are natural gas reserves that Ukraine doesn't even have the full understanding of how to pull out of the ground and send it out, which would cause their economy to just boom. And there would be no need for reliance upon Russia to be able to use gas. And even for Europe, it would cause Europe to say, okay, we have more options. The United States is doing its little thing over here. And our only option before was Russia. Now we can go to Ukraine and say, hey, you guys have gas, we can get it from you. And that diminishes the power from Russia. So now you're starting to see, okay, there's some natural things that are occurring as to why Russia might want to take over Ukraine, more than just they want to take back their old Soviet bloc. This might be why. This report talks about how before the Cold War, World War II, when Russia went and took in information, really World War I, World War II, when Russia went and took over Eastern Europe, that what they did was they took all the information about how to pull gas out of the ground, to where the oil and gas reserves are, and they took it to Russia. They took it to the Kremlin, took it to Moscow, so that nobody in Ukraine really understood what it was about. And those who did really didn't talk about it as far as for the sovereignty and the benefit of Ukraine, it's more so for the sovereignty and benefit of the Soviet Union. And so what needs to happen now, this article suggests, is that Ukraine needs to have investments from companies who know this information, not Russian oligarch companies, but other companies who can go figure this stuff out fast. And it would boom their economy. It would solve a lot of Europe's problems. So I point this out because it's more than just the chaos that's going on, that what we see from the Biden administration right now, the information that they're pumping. There's a lot at play here. And this is why it's really important for us to stay sober on this issue, despite what people like Tulsi Gabbard and our military, that could be very well be true. Who knows? But we can't sit here and play hypotheticals. We have to deal in reality and what is actually happening. And what's actually happening is there's a lot of confusion on the ground for both Ukrainians and Americans and Russians and Europeans. And there's a lot at play here. And so we need to continue to intercede for them to have the administration have the wisdom and fear of the Holy Spirit now and in the days ahead for the sovereignty and the agreements that we've made and the sovereignty of Ukraine. Okay, I want to talk about another story real quick. If you saw Friday late afternoon, Durham came out with a report on the fact. Special Prosecutor John Durham came out with information that Hillary Clinton, a campaign, potentially DNC, and other informants within the government used information and security measures to spy on then candidate Trump and even President Trump while he was in the executive office. It was in his report. So we just want to pray for the truth to come out on this. Not sure if anything will be done. If you haven't read it, read it. It's very salacious. It's very damning evidence. But we also need to keep in mind that, look, there's a lot at play here with what's going on in the FBI, whether this will actually push forward, whether the AG will push forward on this to actually do something about this, and now the potential Hillary Clinton trying to rise back up and insert herself in the potential run for president if Biden weren't to run. The whole host of things going on. So we just want to intercede and be aware, number one, but intercede for the truth to come out on this issue now and in the days ahead. And he's going to still, Durham is still going to investigate this stuff. And it's interesting to see, you'll see Biden administration is not going to do anything about it because Republicans will have a heyday, especially before the midterms. He might do something after the midterms, I believe, but before, we'll see. Now, also, final few things is the Democrats are now getting anxious and they want Biden to speed up the process of selecting whoever he's going to select for Justice Breyer's replacement. It has been confirmed that Biden has selected, it's narrowed it down to four black female justices. It's kind of discriminatory to select based upon that. We understand that. But Democrats want to get it done soon. And now they are because of issues like health issues with Senator Lejeune out of New Mexico, who now says he will return to the Senate in time to vote for the Supreme Court nominee. Meanwhile, forget he had a stroke 2 weeks ago and had a surgery on his brain to decrease the swelling. And he's talking about coming back. Look, if you're seeing what they're doing with Biden, this is of no surprise for him. I pray his family makes a wise decision on what should be done, not only for him, but for the country, making sure that he has a cognitive ability, making sure that it's him who is actually making these votes, not a proxy who's just telling him, hey, you vote here. And he might have done that anyways. Who knows? There are also other Democrats coming out and standing against the Build Back Better agenda. And I want to point that out because the vice president today is supposed to talk about that, about reintroducing a plan for infrastructure spending, et cetera, and how to deal with COVID. So there's a lot at play coming in this week. Obviously, the big focus will be Ukraine as potential for an invasion, supposedly from what the Biden administration is saying, Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll see. And then the final thing we want to be aware of and pray for, not only in Wisconsin, but in other states, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice ruled that Dropbox ballot boxes are not to be allowed at the April primary election, although they can be, they are going to be allowed for the February 15th due to the fact that there wasn't enough time to pull it back, supposedly. And there's a dispute with the, and this is in Waukesha County, where there's a lot of evidence of nefarious acts to occur that still haven't been investigated and decided with on the 2020 election. Again, I say if there's no election problems, why are there challenges to all the election board processing before and after the elections now, before the midterms? And this is huge because this has potential to roll over into the midterms in November. So the fact that the Supreme Court ruled this way shows that they understand there's problems here. And a lot of it has to do with the technicality of how the Waukesha Board of Elections actually went about trying to implement this. A lot of it violating the state constitution. And so what we want to pray here is for the Golden Court cases to arise and for lawfulness to be held in this election and in other cases going around the country, especially with the abortion issue before the Supreme Court, as they continue to read briefs and make their decision before the June deadline of making their announcement. So this week is hot and heavy, and I hope each and every one of you are able to have a blessed day. Don't forget, we'll be back here today at noon for our noon prayer, standing on the wall and praying for this nation at the midnight hour, during the noon hour, for the midnight hour, as we continue to appeal to heaven for the destiny of the nation to be reached, which is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.